Thursday, March 19th, 2020 at 8 a.m. And this is the Safety Committee meeting, and we are here for a discussion about the COVID-19 situation and looking to hear from city administration about action steps that they are taking. A presence today, myself, Mary Westfall, Chair, Mark Fry, Jim Dow, Peter Cappellini, Doug Keenum, as well as Leslie Brining, Kevin Aller, Chief Snor, Chief Ram, and Mayor Stow. With that, I'm going to just open with the comment that certainly we all are in uncharted territory here, and everyone is trying to find the best path forward. Our focus is, of course, on the citizens of the city of Sylvania to ensure that we're taking all the right steps to keep them safe, to minimize risk, and that council members are informed about the steps that administration is taking. I will share with my fellow committee members who are present, I have had an opportunity to stay in touch with the mayor, and I also spoke with Kevin. I think the administration is doing an exceptional job of making sure they're asking the right questions, that they're following all of the information coming out from both area communities as well as the governor. And I have full confidence in the steps that are being taken right now. But I do look forward to getting an update, hearing from Mr. Aller as well as both chiefs about steps they're taking, challenges that they're seeing in the community, and what they envision as next steps, and then, of course, opening up to questions. So with that, unless the mayor has something he'd like to add, that's what I would say. That was my plan.
Got the three locations for home. You guys can imagine that. I
If there's any immediate questions for Kevin, certainly I'm open to that. I think both chiefs are able to make permits as well.
Quick question, I know you've got everybody coming to work, but they stay home, or are you equipped software-wise for all of our employees to work home?
Our judge did limit, he reset everything that wasn't emergent. They are only handling on-views typically for the rest of the night. They're handling those every day and rescheduling as much as possible because frankly, two people that don't, especially under the defender, they're not able to get those. They're pushing them out 6 weeks at this point, but I mean, and as far as the court personnel, I believe the probation department is working very limited to that reduced number of employees in that office. In the prosecutor's office, everybody's been great and keeping good actually sitting in the office and everybody's hanging in there. Doing great.
Large number of visitors. was some additional yesterday. The health department's keeping strictly numbers, trying to stay away from that, because the intent is for people to self-monitor and stay away from testing sites.
Sure.
If you think, and self-quarantine, if you think you should. Because, and the testing numbers can be really misleading, because if there's a mass rush to this, it's going to skew the numbers, because maybe half of the people shouldn't be tested.
Right.
I do know that they did, you know, they have had to turn people away, that did not have the doctor orders and things of that nature. But I'm not privy to, exact numbers.
Okay. Other than the non-contact thermometers that you mentioned, you'd reached out to Flower to see if they could help us out with that. Are there other tools that you see right now? I mean, you know, all the great planning in the world is wonderful and it helps, but once you get into the situation, you start to see other things shifting. Are there other things that you see as tools that we as members of council could potentially help the administration with?
I think a couple things that may come up, and we're not there yet, and Chief Shorter can probably talk to it, is making sure that our police staff is protected when they hit the field. If this virus gets to the point where, you know, everybody's being told to self-quarantine, we will figure out how we operate in the city hall. I mentioned earlier, utility payments have to be processed, and that has yet to do, but that can, if it absolutely has to, that can't wait.
Right. Sure.
Police, if you can't, they need to be out of power. And that would be the one thing that I have in the back of my mind, is making sure that we have enough of the filtered masks, proper PPE, personal protective equipment, for them to continue to do their job and protect them as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
If we get to the point, if we get to that point, field staff, streets, water, sewer, they can stay home if we have a water break or something like that, obviously we want to come in, but on a typical day,
so I was reading in the Blade this morning that City Council in Toledo has authorized and modified, I think City Council had passed, lifting of the standard ordinance on purchasing limits. Is that something, Mayor and Kevin, that we may encounter or that we might want to consider at the next council meeting? Or is our flexibility enough that it doesn't matter right now?
Yeah, I think our flexibility is enough that we will be all right.
Okay.
The safety director and service director, per Ohio Revised Code, if there are any changes within our code, refer to the Ohio Revised Code. Those individuals actually have the authority to talk to you.
Okay.
They'll obviously notice that I bring other things to you that are much smaller than that, as a personal guidance for you. Spend things that are large, but this situation, to be frank, I would have no problem going up to that at all. I don't anticipate us getting to that.
Okay.
But it is possible.
And obviously, if you had to go down that path, you would let us know whenever you trigger that level of authority internally. I'm sure you would let us know. Okay.
Mr. Fye, just so you're aware, as in the charter, the mayor has both the conservative of peace authority and the chief executive. So, especially in this situation where the governor has declared a state of emergency for the whole state, he would also have that authority to make those.
So he can act on behalf of the city regardless.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I just wanted to make sure we had enough flexibility if we needed it.
Both chief's kind of nodding at some of the comments. I think they've probably got some key points to be added to your comments as well. So if it's all right, we'll start with Chief Schnorr and then Chief Ram, if that's good. And just any feedback that relates to the questions that were asked today, Chief Schnorr, and any high-level overview of how you're managing and what your officers are saying.
Thank you.
And then we're converting the fire department, we do want to call up if we can issue a concern about health personnel, we're now the fire department, so I can see when calls are tomorrow. And today, they move as far as supply, another fire, hand sanitizers, that's the last half of our office. Up here, I think we have two reserved that are left in the woods and are in our road operations, but we're almost out of that. Now, Shell Spot sent something out to the community, and yesterday, the elections cuttings dropped off small pens, which will be the option for individual, but as far as, our supply is probably good for a year or 5 days. So hand sanitizer in the field, they also will take wash their hands, so that's a big problem for us. And then cleaning waste. Now, we were able to obtain, I think, 4 or 5 tons in the last few days. But again, because we're sanitizing every shift, we've got cars, the surfaces in the squad room, it's consideration. As time goes on, if some of our people get sick, we may start assigning cars to individual people. So right now, we use 3 people might use the same car. We do have some extra vehicles that are special service vehicles, things like that. And if the manpower drops on, I may have assigned cars that will clean the car, and then that one person will drive that same car for the duration of the incident, if possible. So that's where we're at right now. Things are big, and you know, the message we're putting out to the public and our operating philosophy is, other than some routine services like a lead check, we're not going to do those anymore right now. Or car seats installed, we're not doing those. We are, however, offering those services remotely as far as car seat installation. If someone calls in, the technicians will walk through the phone and also refer them to the website so they can at least make sure that child is secured in as best as possible. But we're not going to physically do the cars call for us to do that. Everything else, I want to work on first.
In my conference call with the mayor tomorrow in Harrisburg yesterday, we all talked about our annual aid program. Mommy officers were actually visiting some of their people that weren't responding. I know we, decades ago, Chief Sopp started that program, and I know we still pursue it, but this might be a time to
Our software and that program actually ended at the end of 2019. We were down to less than 10 people that were on it. And the Red Cross has a similar program. All of our people transferred over to that. Now, we are still, you know, doing check savings if you look through calling that group and family over the past sort of things. The RU paper, as far as the telephone software went down, and we were faced with a situation where but we are, again, I mean, that's what we're focusing on right now as far as, you know, our operations, grocery stores, healthcare facilities. We're still doing traffic reports and those sorts of things. Our focus is on maintaining public safety and all of those areas for, you know, everything like that. So, obviously, the officers are always on the ones that are really having that thing. Any issues, we'll be mindful of
Thank you very much. It seems from your comments that you haven't seen any uptick in minor, I don't know what you would call it, I don't mean crime, but minor mischievous activities from students who are out or from people who are just at home. Okay.
We are working closely with Omega and talking with the Santa Barbara Bureau, just to aware of the concerns. The Wellness Center, a couple of days ago, went to the same protocol check. I'm sure it's not a little bit of a for some people initially.
Okay. Great. Any questions for Chief Schnorr?
Something that I haven't thought of, and I hate to even bring it up because it seems like it could never happen, but just in an effort to imagine the worst possible scenario, the front of the Blade yesterday, and the rush on guns and ammunition, I mean, how does, like I said, I don't even want to bring it up, but it could happen anywhere, I think. And if people get sick and the situation progresses, I don't even know what my question really is.
If for some reason, some terrible reason, we reach the minimum level of available officers, is there some program in our community or nearby where there's people who have been at least somewhat trained in situations like that?
Thank you, Chief Schnorr. How about if we have Chief Ram make a few comments, and then we can have other questions. You got another question?
Before you go, could you talk a little bit about your mutual aid plans with I'm not familiar with them generally, but particularly any changes or upgrades?
Really, because of the technology that this year is, we can use some of these channels possibly. So if I were to call one of my officers right now, it would block out some signals that they can go traffic on our channel and hear it. And it doesn't happen very often. We have an interoperability channel, and we're unusual to use one of the pre-terminators and multiple cops and support. So we're the channel for an eye here. And we could be special then for the instruments on using all of that and two on the same series. So,
is that countywide or just
in the countywide program, but we every field officer maybe probably pre-program.
And do we have, and are there plans to interact with the highway patrol if necessary? Okay, one for there. Do we have, I assume we have those to contact the governor. I wouldn't expect that. And that would be through deployment of the National Guard.
To hearing from you about anything that could be of significance in terms of what's happening with EMS and fire, and any other comments that you have about safety precautions.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. I guess I'll start out with we did the same as everybody else, essential employees, which unfortunately, the fire department, every single person is an essential employee. I do have two executive secretaries that work at Station 4 for me. We have not cut their hours because, like everyone said beforehand, we have bills and I have things that have to be done by a certain time for both the state and for DEA. And we have so many of those things that we're rushing on the time for them. So both gals have said they would rather come to work and try to do do something from home. We are set up, that we could, both gals do have laptops that can go on, asking them for 2 hours, I think, yesterday. I went on the phone, and it took over 2 hours, but I'm able to talk to them, and I can hear it, and I can do, so, I'm able to do some things, but, we are still maintaining a 16-person day, which is our minimum staff. I am running into a little bit of trouble, and I have 6 people on the phone. We're following all the updates. I'm going to have to try to do the meeting and phone call with Madison and I. I was contacted by Richfield's chief. They really only have about 15 active members out in Richfield, so as Chief Schnorr said, I scan, I'm constantly scanning because we have auto aid with Springfield and Richfield. So if Richfield's going to go up, I'm going to listen. As a matter of fact, if I can ask them, I call up the county. Didn't really use gowns that much, so I was able to get another 40 sets of gowns yesterday, I think. So, I mean, we're right on the cusp of it. Lucas County, through the ELC and through Lucas County MS, does have some of that supply, so we get drastically in need. We can go through the resource allocation through the emergency operations center to hopefully get some things. We're in the same boat with the thermometers. We have the ear type ones. We don't have the non-touch. I did reach out to Chief Nye this morning and asked him, after Kevin asked if we had some for you to borrow, it's like, you know, we don't. Again, it's another tool that our ones for the years have always worked, so I'm frugal. I'm not saying I'm cheap, but I'm frugal. If things work, why am I going to change it to something else? So I kind of thought on that line as far as that goes. And I did get a couple updates from the Lucas County Fire Chiefs meeting yesterday. We do have 88 confirmed in Ohio, 19 different counties. There's 383 that are under PUIs or under investigation. Toledo Botanical Gardens is your number one. St. Charles was opening yesterday to have one. Whether that's been through the EOC or not, but I do know St. Luke's opened one without the approval from the EOC. So, in the meeting last night, I will tell you that Long's Fire Chief was not happy. Because now you've got all these people coming from the outlying areas into his town, and he had no idea they were going to start their own. So, just so you're aware, I'm trying to stay up on all that. So, because I asked the guy last night, I said, listen, if Flower decides to do it, I gotta know. Because Chief Schnorr needs to know, you guys need to know, we certainly need to know if we're gonna start having people come in that have that potential. So I guess really, that's about really my update. Lucas County EMS, our medical director, Dr. Lindstrom, put out a couple things yesterday as far as for our employees, when he would like us to have them tested. And you know, we're still following the CDC and all that, but we did have another incident yesterday where four of our guys were on an incident, and the person was very sick. They ended up transporting the person to Mercy ER at Central and King. Mercy did the COVID stuff and then sent him off to, St. Anne or, Bay Park. But I got the call last night, none of my people have temperatures or any symptoms or anything, so,
Chief, in relationship to your comment about you're hoping ProMedica and Flower doesn't open up its own,
Well, no, I hope if they do, they let us know.
Well, I wonder if you've thought of being in touch with them to make sure that they understand the EOC requirements.
It's on my list right now.
Okay.
The phone call was last night at 6:30 that I said, and so it's like, as soon as I get in this morning, I will call and talk to Jim Collins and say,
perfect.
I need to know as soon as possible.
And I think I hadn't thought about the emergency facility for Mercy. That may require this, a similar type of phone call.
Yeah.
So, just thoughts there. Any other questions here today? For any of these? One of the things I did have the opportunity to speak with Kevin yesterday, and he did suggest that he would be very open to putting out communication for anything that seems to be a change that he hears on any of his phone calls with whatever frequency is needed. I didn't think that we needed it every single day, but if there's something that changes or something that feels more urgent, that he would make sure he puts it out. I'm sure we're all getting the information from the Lucas County group via our email. I've looked at that every day. I think it's been pretty thorough and quite complete and very helpful. So I think that the only thing we would be asking for administration to consider is if there's something specifically that would impact the citizens of Sylvania or Sylvania Township, perhaps, that we be notified of some change that's happening that we should be particularly sensitive to.
Sure. And I've been trying to, anything that comes out of the county and CDC, I've sent to all of my employees, so this was kind of what the council did, the same thing. We're down to only a couple of people in the building. You have to go in the front door. We're not allowed to move to the side. We're going to go from there, and you're going to be able to sit down there.
Mm-hmm.
Just down.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any other comments from Kevin, from you? Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much, and a special thanks also to Chief Schnorr and Chief Ram. As I said at the start of the safety committee meeting, certainly I feel very fortunate for the exceptional leadership that we have in place. I've seen administration really step up be responsive, trying to anticipate all of the things that could be of urgent need as we find our path forward through these challenging times. With that, I would ask if there is a motion to adjourn the safety committee meeting.
Sure.
The governor declared state of emergency.
Typically why he did that, the mayor of Toledo did that so they could bypass bidding requirements. He has four reasons why he needed to do that. The one he exercised yesterday was bypass competitive bidding for some vital supplies for the city. I've been in touch with our law director, and our charter does not address it in the same way. Our charter says that the mayor is the conservator of the peace, and that can be expanded to mean a lot of things. If the mayor feels something is necessary for the public good, you don't even have to give me the right. I think so.
Is there a motion to adjourn the safety committee meeting? It's been moved and seconded to adjourn the safety committee meeting at 8:15.